Right, there we go. I didn't know where my mic was for a second, but way back. Welcome back to the Embassy Talks podcast, another episode of the Embassy Talks podcast. Yes, I know we have been on another break. We basically have been in, it's been a busy season outside of podcasting.
Life
Yeah.
be life and
Life was absolutely lifing. It was a couple weeks it was me because I was just so sick of it. With other stuff that I will talk about probably later, maybe like in a month or so, when the steam blows off. And and the other part was like Jade has been booked and busy and
yes.
conning it up. So, but we are back, and also I took also a bit of hiatus, but I'll get back into that for a minute. Although my plan was to like still do podcasting, but I was tired. Anyways, how are you, Jade? Any church announcements?
Yes. Well, one, I'm good. And next Saturday, I'll be in Baltimore, Philly. I'll be in Philly. Thank you, Mike. That's why I would start saying it slow. I was like, I know Mike will chime in if I say the wrong one. I'm like, Baltimore, Philly. Baltimore, Philly. I'll be in Baltimore by way of Philly. But no, so I'll be in Philly for another con. We'll be sailing the slinging them books yet again. We had a really good time last con at the Schomburg in Harlem, so this one should be fun too. Another a free event, so at Tulum University,
Nice.
Temple University. I don't know why I said Tulum. There's another T. At Temple University. So this will be a good time. And outside of that, yeah, I'll just be in the I'll be at home studying. And I'm taking a film class this year. So
Oh.
that's fun. That's gonna be interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all I have. How about you? How are you?
Good, better. Sorry, I was making sure because I'm doing dual streaming. Thing I didn't want YouTube to see this, and I thought I don't love you YouTube, but we just in the gaming land right now. I don't want to get into podcast streets over there just yet. Not for nothing, just because it's like, I'll let the bubble burst a bit before we go full time on YouTube, but also I didn't want my channel to be split that heavily
Yeah.
outside of that. But yeah, also good, a lot better. Church announcements from me is that I'm back live streaming. So if you are a Kingdom Hearts, Final Fantasy, or any other action RPG fan, I'll be dual streaming on Twitch and YouTube with no schedule. We're just gonna be vibing. But y'all will get an attempted 2 to 3 streams out of me a week. And oh yeah, and also if you do enjoy those types of games and/or theories, please check out my YouTube because I'm very close to the first tier YouTube partner, and I'm gonna be promoting myself as much as possible in the wilderness for the next 40 days and 40 nights, and/or until we get a new trailer. For Kingdom Hearts 4, whichever comes first, or Missing Link, if that game comes out. So yeah. But yeah, so be sure to watch those videos, theory videos, or just pull up a playlist and let it play in the background while you're cleaning or cooking or I don't know. Analyzing the latest rap beef going on. Let's see, let's see. Outside of that, I think that's it. Yeah. But yeah. Back to streaming pseudo full time. Is the biggest thing, and check out my YouTube so I can start getting revenue. Trying to think if there's anything else. I don't think there's anything else. Yeah, think I'm good. But If there's no other church announcements, we're gonna go ahead and get right into our docket. So I would be remiss, as much as I want to get into the Drake and Kendrick beef, I would be remiss if we didn't at least talk about a big shakeup at Xbox Microsoft this past week. So Microsoft's Xbox shutters multiple studios and consolidates teams in cost-cutting move. So they're shutting down a number of gaming studios, including Arcane Austin and Tango Gameworks, which made the game Hi-Fi Rush, which actually won awards last year. And Tango Gameworks is headquartered in Tokyo. They're also shuttering Canada-based Alpha Dog, and some employees will be laid off as well. So growth in personal computing and console gaming is expected to remain below pre-pandemic levels as gamers record fewer hours of playtime owing to weaker release schedules. And this is based on the data they got from a research firm called Newzoo. I'm iffy about that data only because I was like, I don't know if it was like a over the course of some years and actually tested and all that, or if it was just like a one shot point of like, I don't know, a quarter or a couple of quarters, and it's like our projection is saying this is going to be low, like super low, enough for them to shutter and close all these studios. So I'm a little iffy about this research firm and what their method was for collecting and extrapolating and analyzing this data. So, all the affected studios are units of ZeniMax Media, which was acquired by Microsoft for $7.5 billion in 2021, and Bethesda. Microsoft's Xbox Content Services segment reported a 62% jump in third quarter revenue last month, largely driven by Activision Blizzard acquisition. Let's see. Oh, that was a hyperlink. Okay. And Grand Theft Auto automaker Take-Two Interactive said it would shut down two subsidiary studios as a part of a mass layoff, according to Bloomberg. And previously, before all this, Microsoft laid off 1,900 employees at Activision and Xbox at the start of the year. So, this is a lot in the gaming world. It's a lot. It's kind of equivalent to when Google laid off a lot of employees and, like, people woke up and, like, went to work and no longer could, like, keycard into Google. It's kind of on that level of, like, what is going on. Especially because I feel like we're about to get, like, I feel like 2024 is, like, kind of set up to be a peak gaming year. Like, this year, next year, and possibly 2026, like, had some promising games coming out that Microsoft could have, like, posted on their Xbox platform. So I'm kind of, it's just one of those things of like, why are y'all doing this? Especially with Hi-Fi Rush, that studio, Tango Gameworks, because Hi-Fi Rush actually won an award at the Game Awards last year. So yeah, this is very much not helping the eat the rich feelings that are going around. Because it is looking like a bloated billionaire or a bloated CEO billionaire is making these decisions at the expense of like hardworking devs and people who like really love video games. So that would be my take. But it's very much like it was very much a moment of like, now why do you do this? What was the reason? If said projections and data from Newzoo wasn't as robust as they came off. But yeah, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. That is is very much giving the eat the rich. It came out of us like a big shock. That's the thing too. Like, well, I, someone who as a casual gaming news, it's kind of like, where did this come from? Why didn't Microsoft give it? First of all, the studio for Hi-Fi Rush, why? That was out of nowhere. They took the villain ball from Sony and Helldiver. Getting background.
What did Mike say?
Mike, what just? What? Oh, and there are more cuts coming.
Oh yeah, future, so. I did see that, and I saw that that. I saw that insiders like at Xbox, Microsoft, they were like, this isn't about to be Xbox anymore, it's about to be Microsoft Gaming. I don't know if that is indicating that they're actually going to change the name to Microsoft Gaming, or if it's just that more people at Microsoft are like being really heavy-handed and micromanaging on the gaming side. But yeah, so
That's interesting.
Oh, I think your mic cut out.
I say, that's interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, the whole Microsoft Gaming.
Yeah.
Like, it's gonna break off on its own.
Yeah. So, it's kind of like, it wasn't the best week for gaming, especially with this. I think, like I said, people are still very much feeling eat the rich right now, and this didn't help at all. So, yeah, I think people are also kind of nervously looking at Nintendo and Sony, although I don't necessarily think they would make this drastic a move right now. Doesn't make sense to, but I don't know.
Sony has their own thing going on right now with PlayStation.
Yeah.
The games. So.
Yeah.
With Helldivers, they got their hands full.
Yeah, I gotta lock into that, because it's like I've been seeing it on Twitter and all that, but I was like, I typically like scroll out the way to get to something that I'm more interested in, just because I don't play Helldivers, even though I heard it was pretty good. But go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying, I was like, I don't quite know what's going on over there. I have to look more into that one, which we might cover next week if I do my research. But yeah, anything else on the Xbox, Microsoft shuttering?
Just, I feel for them employees. Like you said, it was very reminiscent of Google. You have a job one day and then the next, gone.
Yeah,
all from the powers that be. So yeah.
All right, moving right along. Okay, so not gonna lie, I like me a good quality rap beef, so I was very much tuned in to Drake versus Kid. Not at first, because at first I was like, but then I heard Kendrick's bars, and then that's what made me tune in, because I was like, oh, he's actually rapping tattooed to the beat and all that, and I was rapping with substance, so I was like, I can get into it. So I like me a good quality rap beef every now and then. So Drake and Kendrick did not disappoint. So not that I was rooting for Drake anyway, because I'm not a Drake fan, but yeah, so... basically wanted to talk about the songs released this year, because there are the well actuallys out there who are gonna say, well, it actually started with Control, which was like some years ago. I don't know when Control was released. I ain't paying attention to what happened in the past month and a half. So songs released this calendar year, 2024, that kind of started, relit the fuse for this beef, because apparently Kendrick has not liked Drake for a while, and he finally let it be known once they did Drake and J. Cole did a collab, and I can't remember the name of the song. Crud. I should
oh, I didn't know that.
Huh?
I'd be so out the loop. I did not know they did a song together.
Yeah, they did a song talking about like Big Three and all that. And they invited Kendrick, but Kendrick was like, no. And that's kind of what started off. They were kind of doing like little subs here and there in that song. Wow. I cannot remember the name of it. It did happen like this calendar year, because I think it happened back in January. So then March 2022, Future and Metro Boomin did a song called Like That. Kendrick lent a bar, or yeah, lent a verse where he was basically like, fuck the big three, it's just big me. So that's kind of what kicked it off. Then J. Cole released a 7-minute drill that next week, well, a couple weeks after. Then J. Cole backed out and apologized.
I don't want none of this.
that weekend. And he was like, you know, I am a grown man who likes to sleep well, and I am not a part of that anymore. And you know, Kendrick, if you want to chin check me, my chin is out. But I cannot be a part of this. So after he, you know, made that speech and apologized that weekend, he deleted 7-minute drill. And then that next week, Drake released Push Ups, which I will say, like, I listened to it. It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. He had some bars in there. And it was one of his more memorable, out of the songs, it was one of his more memorable ones, because he did go at multiple people. I think he talked about Rick Ross. I think he did bring up Kendrick, told Metro to shut his whole ass up and make some drums.
Which that right there is a line, right? Shut your ass up and go make some drums.
Yeah. So he got off a little bit. And then that same day he also released Taylor Made Freestyle. I think this was like on Instagram or something. That was the AI controversy because he used an AI voice of Tupac, I think, and use the AI of Snoop. And Snoop made a statement of like, I think Snoop made a statement of like, I wasn't really feeling it. And then Tupac's estate sent a cease and desist for the AI. Cause they were like, you ain't about to disrespect Pac by doing an AI version of him. All right. So then it was a little quiet for, as people like to say, 17 days. But it wasn't, I'm looking at it, it's like, it wasn't 17 days, it was 11 days. But I think on Push Ups and TaylorMade, he was egging Kendrick on to go, to hurry up. So at the very end of April, on a Tuesday morning, Kendrick decided to release Euphoria. And so when Kendrick released Euphoria, that's when I basically started doing my homework and going backwards, because I was like, huh? So he released Euphoria. He got off. I love that song. That was a great workout song. It's a great cruising song. That was a great let me go in and deal with these people before I walk into work song. But yeah, definitely, like, and he insinuated that he was just jabbing on that. And after the other songs released, looking back, he was really just jabbing on that. And it didn't sound like it at first, because he was like going kind of hard at Drake and like saying he's not an attentive father, he's not an attentive father, he don't really like women, the women he do like, he said they weren't real, which translated to the IG, stereotypical IG models and or the grooming allegations, either or both is, yeah. So, let's see. I'm trying to think of what else, he went after. Oh, he didn't like how, Drake said the N word, and I'm only censoring myself because I have a slight lisp, so I don't want it to turn into the R. So like, and also it's just like,
you're like, I'm not out here using the hard R, y'all.
Yeah, it's like, it would be when I'm live and say it, that it would turn that way. So I was like, I'm getting censored myself. But he didn't like how, you know, Drake would say it, and saying it was just cringeworthy. So basically, he got bars in. I love the song. And I'm saying this as someone, I'm a casual listener of Kendrick Lamar. I didn't listen to all his albums, but the songs that I listened to, I tended to like. I will say Mr. Morale, I listened through that whole album. I only listened to it once because it was a lot. Just like mentally, psychologically, emotionally, it was like a lot. So it was like, whew. Not a ride through the park on a Sunday type of album. But yeah. And he also, once the other songs released throughout this beef, Kendrick basically made a but basically he predicted, kind of made a prediction that Drake was going, you know, move this way or use this strategy in the beginning of Euphoria, basically saying he'll misquote Mr. Morale, and that. He'll misquote Mr. Morale. Kendrick's songs were going to electrify the culture. Drake's was going to like pacify, and that's what Drake is. He makes songs that pacify the culture and like pacify people. The biggest line in that was that he was going to misquote his last album as part of the diss to like get his point across. So Euphoria was good. That got the people up and talking. And then a few days after that, middle of the week, again at like 8 o'clock in the morning, Kendrick released 616 in LA. This was on Instagram exclusively, and he was basically warning Drake that like, you got moles in your camp, they're feeding me information, you really don't want to do this. And so later that night, Drake released Family Matters, which was, in my opinion, his best song. Like, Push Ups was like the more fun song that Drake released in this beef, but Family Matters was like his best song lyrically for this beef. So I can't take credit for this joke, but someone else said, but whoever wrote for him in that song did a good job. So he got off some nasty bars. Like he had his own allegations that Kendrick apparently hits on his woman, Whitney. But also, like, he made, like, while as he was like going at Kendrick, Drake did two big mistakes. I feel like he went after multiple people again in Family Matters when it should have been a Kendrick exclusive diss, but he went after The Weeknd. He went after A$AP Rocky, who was just minding his business being a present father.
Some of these memes now make sense now.
Yeah.
Like when they were having A$AP Rocky and Rihanna and him just staring at her, and yeah, they were like, yeah, he good. And I was like, what is this? I was like, this is random.
Yeah.
Okay.
So way after The Weeknd, A$AP Rocky, Rick Ross again. Because he was like making fun of Rick Ross, you know, being a CO, correctional officer. And then also went at Kendrick. And then while he, so that was his first mistake. He went after multiple people again when it should have been a Kendrick exclusive, since Kendrick released a Drake exclusive. So it wasn't a full one to one. And also, as Drake was like saying these allegations and all that, he did it weirdly. So he was like, well, you hit on your girl. But at the same time, he was like, well, you're lying about yourself because you're over here rapping like you're trying to get the slaves freed, which I was like, well, Drake, if you're really for the culture, you would have worded that differently. But also, he was like, you're rapping trying to get the slaves freed when you're over here with the mixed queen. So it was one of those of like, Whitney is like, even if she is biracial of black and white, which she's not to my knowledge, she is mixed but not black white mixed, but even if she were, it was like, that's not the insult you think it is. But it was, to me, it was weird because I was like, why are you with Okay. She can't help if she mixed, but whatever. It would have made more sense if she was white. But okay. anywho, so he was like, that bar did not make sense to me. That particular bar. So, but like I said, lyrically, it was his best one. So apparently there's a Drake parody that was IG only. I didn't listen to that one. I missed that. But okay. So this is where the beef basically was like, okay, it's over. Over and done. So after Drake released Family Matters, like, well, to give it 20-ish minutes after he released Family Matters, Kendrick dropped Meet the Grams. So, and while there, you know, there are probably DJs and people who follow rap beats, like, that's all they do, that's their content, they can, like, analyze bar for bar and say whose song was stronger. While Drake's song was good in Family Matters, like, I will give it that it wasn't bad, it was actually pretty good. But the fact that Kendrick released his song Meet the Grams and it was so heavy, and two, it had even more allegations that it took the air out the room of Drake's release, so Drake's release didn't have time to sit and, like, really cook, like, Euphoria did, which was Kendrick's, song after, at the end of April. So, there was no time for Family Matters to cook, because Kendrick took the air out the room, and he was like, and we're gonna upload this, and now everybody's talking about, so that's when Kendrick started making the allegations that Drake was a, pedophile, and, like, youngins. So he also made the allegation that Drake was hiding a daughter, older daughter. So Meet the Grams, he basically styled it like a letter. So he did, like, a letter to Adonis, his son. Then he did a letter to Drake's mom and dad. He called them by their first name, which was also, like, really funny, because he didn't say Miss Sandra. He said, oh yeah, dear Sandra. I was like, oh, okay. So did the letter to mom and dad, and then did the letter to the unidentified alleged daughter. So Drake's only response to that for a minute was memes of, like, or screenshots of, like, where's his daughter? I don't have a daughter. He didn't really address anything else. At least, like, in the 24-hour period. Then the next day, so 5/3, which was last Friday. So 5/3 was when 6:16 LA released at 8 a.m. Drake released Family Matters, making, like, saying this was going to be a Friday night hit. And then Kendrick took the air out of that and said, here is a 10 p.m. release of Meet the Grams, and stole Drake's light, or stole Drake's spotlight. So the next day, last Saturday, Kendrick was like, all right, I got heavy, let's have some fun. And that's when he released Not Like Us, which had everybody across the country, across the world, like, dancing and having these fun chants. So it's a certified bop. It's the song of the summer. And so then 5/5 that Sunday, Drake released The Heart Part 6, which was essentially, oh, and Not Like Us, Kendrick was basically having fun trolling, and, like, double down on the pedophile. And got back at him for the rap, like, freeing the slaves comment, and saying that he went to Atlanta to get these features from these other rappers to further establish himself of, like, or Drake was going to Atlanta, getting these other rappers on features and all that, so that he can further establish himself as part of, like, Black American or Black Western culture. So, on Sunday afternoon, I don't know, I lost track of time doing all this, but on Sunday, Drake released a defeated verse of The Heart Part 6, where his response to Meet the Grams and Not Like Us was basically, nuh-uh. It's actually funny. So It was basically not, we planted the daughter story and you picked it up, haha, very defeatedly. And also, I'm too rich, I'm too famous to be a pedophile, I'll be in jail by now, which is like, have you looked at your friends, R. Kelly and Diddy and Epstein? Because they were able to do that for a long time. Okay. No, inaccurate, but okay. And he was also like, I'm not a pedophile. I didn't mess with Millie Bobby Brown. And we were like, nobody brought her up until that. Okay, hit dogs with holler. So that was it. To me, he sounded defeated and high on the Heart Part 6. It was sad. But I think that was basically, oh, he was like, he basically took himself out. He's like, I'm done with this. And he was like, you can go ahead and release your next 10 songs or whatever, because in Not Like Us, Kendrick was like, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 plus 5 more shots, basically. So, that was in a, not so much a nutshell, but a summary of the beef of the summer. I had a time enjoying it. I didn't know that you didn't listen to any of the songs before.
Not a one. The only thing I've listened to was Metro Boomin's BBL Drizzy.
Oh yeah, Metro.
BBL Drizzy.
Metro, who apparently has his own allegations now, but like Asterix, Metro Boomin release. Basically, it was like, oh, you want me to make some drums? Here's a free beat for everybody. Whoever makes up the best verse, this song will be yours. And then within like 24, 36 hours, he was like, and I'll throw $10,000 on it. And you had creatives from all over the earth adding their talents to it.
Oh, that has been my favorite. It's been stuck in my head all day. I've been singing BBL Drizzy to myself. And I like Drake. I have listened to more Drake albums. I like how Mike in the back is like, no.
I heard it. That.
Like I've listened to actual whole albums of Drake. I have not listened to albums of Kendrick Lamar. I've listened to songs, so, oh my god.
I love how Michael's is on my side on this.
Yes. Okay. Oh my god. Okay, yes. Anywho, yeah, so... In this fight, it's not like I was like Team Drake. I was just like, I don't listen to Kendrick, so I don't really have an opinion on it because I don't know who. I was like, I don't listen to him, so I don't know like the songs like that.
Yeah.
But then I had the whole beef. I was just like, the only person winning right now, truly winning, is J. Cole.
Yes.
And the record labels, because of how much money they're making off of these people, off of the amount of plays they're getting off of these.
Absolutely. J. Cole absolutely won.
J. Cole was like, I want no parts, and left. And probably riding his bike somewhere.
Right. He was just like, I just want to sleep. Sleep's more important.
Right. Just like, I was like, at y'all grown age, y'all are really, that's the thing too with me. Like, at y'all grown age, y'all are really going at it and you're rich. Shut up. Like, oh my gosh, what, why are y'all beefing? For what?
I'm a fan of it, considering the alternative isn't that great. But I'm a fan of it because I was like, let's put it to the test. Let's see who's better. And so it's just like, and you know, we get like, I feel like with beefs, it kind of puts the onus on the artist to kind of like step up the game and like put their best foot forward in it. So I like it in that sense, because it was like, we're gonna get some nice bars out of this. So I was just like, I like that, and I like that it doesn't I rather them beef over the mic than, honestly, I rather them beef over the mic than over social media. But more importantly, I rather them beef over the mic than like in the streets. So it's just one of those. It's like, I get music out of this. I'm a happy customer. Even though I'm not necessarily a Drake fan, and this is someone who watched Degrassi, like I did not have a crush on Aubrey Wiggum. I actually did not. I watched it. I was just like, Jimmy's cool.
But yeah, Jimmy was cool.
I didn't like that he was shot, but he's cool. But yeah, I was like, yeah, no, I didn't have a crush on Aubrey Graham. But anyway, as someone who watched Degrassi and like seeing Drake the rapper, I'm very much with Kendrick of like, I like Drake the melodies. I don't like Drake when he's acting tough. So like when he first came out, it was like different. So in that sense, it's like, I wasn't necessarily a fan, but I was like, okay, I see where his lane was. I was like, well, okay. He made some like cool bops and stuff. But like in the past 5-ish years, I was like, I think also because like that's when the weirdness started coming out, like people on the internet were saying this and that, and the whole thing with like him dancing with a 17-year-old and at a concert once, and also him texting Millie Bobby Brown when she was only 14. I was just like, okay, I don't want to like you.
That story, the Millie Bobby Brown one, I was like, how true is that? Because she says that.
She said it on the red carpet.
Yeah, but she was also a teenager, so I'm like, he could have texted her one time. But that's why I was like, we've never seen said text. That's why I'm like,
we never seen, although he probably told her like, don't say that anymore. I had to guess. But we haven't seen a text, you're right. I don't know if he said anything positive or negative, like confirming, denying. I will say, as like, I don't think it was a one-time text if she was like, oh, he gives me advice about boys. So on that end, I was like, it was detailed just enough to me. I was like, okay. So it's just like, okay. But it's just other stuff that's just like, I'm learning too much about Drake the person. I was like, I didn't want to know all this. About you before, but this was before this beef happened anyway. But yeah, it was just like little stuff that I was like, I was kind of noticing about him as a person, but also I was like, maybe it's just me getting older and like paying attention. So
I just be listening to the music and be bopping along.
So didn't know if I had a point to that, and I forgot where I was going, but yeah. So you were saying you were like more of a Drake fan, but you didn't necessarily like hear any of the songs, but you saw the memes and stuff, I'm sure.
Oh yes, I've been seeing all the memes, and like the only piece of a song I heard was the I hate the way that you walk, the way that you dress, the way that, like that.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah. So that was Euphoria.
Okay, that's Euphoria. I've been wondering what song that was. I was like, I would listen to that song because I was like, I just like that little piece. Like,
yeah.
Biggest hater. Okay. That's when that meme going around, everybody's like, you know what? I thought I was a hater before, but Kendrick taught me I was not doing good enough.
I wasn't. Apparently, I was not. Apparently, I'm just peaceful out here.
Like, I need to be the biggest hater. So I'm like, okay. Let me do better.
Right.
So I was like, that one I actually want to listen to. But this whole beef, I've just been like, yeah. Y'all got it. Y'all got it. J. Cole, I'm like, I'm with you. I'm just peaceful over here.
That's fair. Sorry. That's fair.
I don't know if you can hear the siren.
Oh, yeah, I can hear the sirens, but I get it. It's New York. But no, that's fair. I was just like, but yeah, I think because like I'm a fan of like a certain type of hip hop and rap, so that's why I was like, I'm tuned in. There were other side beats trying to spout off, but people were like, okay, enough with you guys. Let's like get back to the main beef of Kendrick and Drake. So
because the Chris Brown Quavo one was hilarious.
Yeah. But also, it's weird because I was very much, I remember Kevin on stage saying he felt his age and was like, help your uncle out. But also, I was just like, oh, I am old, because I was just like, why are y'all, I know who y'all are, but why are y'all beefing?
I know they haven't liked each other for a while.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Like, there was this whole thing where they were at 1 year at Fashion Week, and they sat them next to each other, and everybody was like, oh, because they don't like each other. So they were just shocked, but they were doing the adult thing and just ignoring each other while they had sit literally next to each other. Like, it wasn't like a person between them, or they were, no, they were cheek, they were side to side. So I was like, oh. And, but yeah, they've been, that's when I learned about their beef back then. And I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden Chris Brown came out swinging with the song, and I was like, ooh. And then Quavo tried to say something, and I was like, oh, it didn't hit the same. I was like, because I don't know if people know that, but it's kind of true that Quavo thinks he's the oldest of the group, he wasn't. I was like, if you really listen, he wasn't.
Yeah,
like, you were the out of the three the most attractive.
Yeah.
And I was like, but you weren't the best out of the group. That's the thing. Chris Brown did cross the line when he said it should have been you instead of Takeoff. I was like, ooh.
Well, yeah, he was like, everybody wishes it was you. And I was like, who is everybody? Wait. No. Not everybody thinks that.
It's like, Christopher.
You think that. To you. But yeah, so yeah, I heard the Chris, I did hear the song that Chris Brown did. I didn't hear Quavo's response. I did mean to listen to it, and then Kendrick turned to open. I was like, nope, I'm all tuned in on this now. I'm locked in. So yeah, I gotta get back to it. But yeah, no, this was a great exercise. I thought it was like quite hilarious. I just think Drake's Heart Part 6 was hilarious, honestly, as like his final response, because I was just like, oh, you sound high and defeated. You sound like you're not supposed to sound like what Kendrick's cover was saying. Because so that was the other part. When Kendrick dropped Meet the Grams, and he released a cover, and then he had to remove it because can't release people's medical prescriptions like that, apparently. So, but we had to
see,
go ahead.
That's the thing, when people were saying, when the Kendrick fans were like, oh, it's because of HIPAA violations and all that, and somebody broke that down, they're like, y'all, that has nothing to do with HIPAA violations. They're like, because you would have to be a different type of entity. And
oh, it wasn't HIPAA. Like, I knew, yeah, it wasn't,
but no,
HIPAA,
but some of the fans were like, it's because it's a HIPAA violation. They don't understand HIPAA laws.
HIPAA is, and for so, the hospital, but yeah,
exactly. So it'd be different if his doctor, right, or the pharmacy was like, hey, these are Drake's meds,
right?
And like disclosing out the PIIs,
right?
It was like, but no, that's not what that meant.
Yeah, no.
I was like, yeah.
Not HIPAA, but there is apparently a rule or a law that say, like, if you are holding somebody else's prescription, you're not supposed to apparently, like, publish it on, like, World Wide Web or something. Like, it's not HIPAA, but I understood why people confused it for HIPAA, but I did not know that rule existed. But yeah, so well, I would say that's a prevailing theory. Don't know if it's 100% verified. That it wasn't HIPAA, but there is a law that says, like, you can't do that, at least for an album cover or a song cover. Hey, 85. But yeah, so, oh, go ahead.
I know Rick Ross is having the most fun out of all of this, because absolutely, he's just been cracking me up. Like, him laughing, him and them big old veneers just cracking up. at home, like doing whatever. He was when his plane crashed, and he was like, it was Drizzy's dread or whatever. And I'm like, Drake's dread. And it's just a mess. I'm just like, he's been having the most fun. I was like, it's hilarious. Yes. He's been a part of this beef without actually beefing.
Yes.
He's just been like, ha ha ha.
But yeah, so before the cover had to be taken back or whatever, so when Kendrick released 616 in LA, it was a picture of a black Maybach glove. And then when he released Meet the Grams, picture was zoomed out and you could see a whole lot of stuff. You could see receipts from like a jewelry shop, like a costume jewelry shop or something. But also they had Drake's prescriptions. and it had an Ozempic in there too. And it had one pill was for it was one pill that was like kind of well known, and then the other pill I had to look up, and it was basically sleeping pills. So when Drake released The Hard Part 6 and how he sounded, I was like, this is not helping the allegations made on Meet the Grams, because you sound high as hell. He might just been a defeated, I'm tired of this sound, but to me it very much gave off as like, you took those sleeping pills, didn't you, before you got in the booth. Okay. But the part of me that doesn't really like Drake the person found that just like slightly funny. I was just like, after all of this public embarrassment on the internet, a lot of people were like, Drake should retire. And I was like, I don't know if I would say Drake should retire, but I feel
it's gonna
like
blow over you.
It'll blow so over. I just feel like he will hide for a minute.
Yep, and then start making little good old chart topping radio hits.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
Tootsie sliding again.
Yes. I was like, y'all be the Drake alone. I was like, we like to hear some bops every once in a while. Yeah. Thank you from the peanut gallery.
But yeah, so like I said, I enjoyed it. As a rap hip hop fan, I was like, I enjoyed it. It was a, like I said, it gave me some summer hits that I will still bop in my truck. More so Not Like Us, because that took Song of the Summer. Unless, ooh, there are rumors that a video for Not Like Us might be released, if not tonight, soon. There is also a rumor that there might be a Meg Kendrick feature, like a Kendrick song with a Meg feature, or yeah. Now, I don't know how verified that rumor is. I just heard it one time. The Not Like Us video, I heard like a couple times, so I was like, I can see that happening. If there's a Meg feature with them both going after Drake, that I absolutely want that.
Yeah. If that is, ooh, that one would be tough. I'd be like, yeah, I'll have to listen to that. I love me some Meg. See, that beef made sense to me. Her and Nicki going at it, because Nicki Minaj goes after all the female rappers.
But the thing is, I don't know if Nicki was the intended target of his.
But she, a hit dog would holler.
Yeah, she was hollering.
She was mad. And it was funny. It was like, and it was true. Everybody was like, well, it's true. Why are you mad at her?
Right.
You mad at Megan's Law. That's not her fault.
But yeah. I mean, I like that beef as well, but it was more so because it was just funny. But yeah.
Yes.
So, anything else on Kendrick versus Drake versus rap beef of the like? I didn't want to like take up too much time because we got a lot of updates.
So on that, no more.
Okay. All right, moving on to the Creator Hub. All right. So, latest Twitch news, Clips and Vods have a new engagement bar with buttons for following, gifting a sub, subscribing, giving a subscription, subscribing, and watching live. That's good to know. I have not. I need to start making clips again. But I was like, oh, cool. May marks the first month creators have been eligible for the new Plus Partner Plus program. Or actually, it's Plus programs because I think affiliates can now get in on it. Not saying it's impossible. That's a lofty goal. But yeah, I think it's for all monetized streamers. Creators receive notification on sign-in via email if they unlocked it. They also launched a new dashboard to track their progress better. Small change to the content classification labels now allows appealing locked labels if they have been applied for more than 7 days. A research report states that Twitch is a new frontier for digital journalism, which I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't know about all that.
Do we podcast and talk about news? Sure, yes, but I am not, I don't have a degree in journalism. I don't consider myself a journalist, although I do try to do due diligence research. If it's a more serious topic, I want to do due diligence research because I want to know what I'm talking about and not misinform. If it was like the Kendrick Drake beef, I don't really like, it's more, that's more opinion based, but yeah. I don't know how I feel about that one. Just do your Googles, I would say, if you're an audience member.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. I'm even picky on who I would want to listen to when it comes to like my favorite game. I'm not just saying that like I like to listen to myself. I'm saying just across the board, even if I were not a person covering that game, I am still picky on who I want to listen to because I know who's gonna do research and get it right. And I know who is not paying attention. But yeah, so that's interesting. But it's one research report, so I'm not sure. But I can also see that happening, especially with people like Hassan, like being a full-time streamer on here. Not that Hassan doesn't like do his due diligence. Like, I will say it feels like while he does his research, I do think a lot of his streams are do carry a lot of opinions as well. So, but I would opt to watch him over others. But it's just one of those things. Like, I don't know about this. Okay. And also for journalism, there are like certain rules that you got to abide by if you're gonna say this is gonna be a journalistic type of place. Or a subset of it is going to be journalistic. Yeah. Certain regulations. But anyway, okay. TwitchCon San Diego tickets will be going on sale later this month. I'm skipping out again this year because, yeah. One.
I kind of want to go.
You kind of want to go?
Yeah.
I might skip out. I don't know. I might go to TwitchCon eventually. I don't know if this year's the year. If you and enough people go, I might reconsider. I don't know.
Peer pressure.
Oh no.
I want to go because I had fun last time I was in San Diego. So it'd be cool to go back.
That's fair.
Yeah. The Peanut Gallery is charming again. Yes, I enjoyed the city. But yeah, I would definitely go to TwitchCon because I know that they're going to be there for a couple years, so it's going to be in San Diego period for a while.
True. So. I don't know, I might be strapped till 2026. I ain't gonna hold you. I like if I don't go this year, it was like I know I'm not going next year because I already am booked and busy that year. And I don't think I can scrap TwitchCon as well. Scrap for TwitchCon as well. But, yeah. TBD. I don't know about that one. But TBD. But going on sale later this month, as in the month of May. So, be on the lookout for that. And then a special shout out to This is, well, they're one of my former guild leaders, because they are holding applications for new guild leaders now. But when I got into the Twitch Black Guild, they were one of the leaders. So former guild leader SP Simone has been hired by Twitch as their Unity Guild community specialist. And I will say, like, even though I haven't been in the guild that long, but SP has been phenomenal. So shout out to them. All right, TikTok news. TikTok announced a licensing agreement with Universal Music, bringing artist music back to the platform for the first time since February 1st. They are really trying not to get banned.
I about to say they're trying hard. Really.
And they also, I didn't add this, they're also filing a lawsuit saying it's infringing on First Amendment.
Yeah.
So, all I can say is best of luck. I don't use TikTok like that. It's not my top platform.
I use it daily now. And it's just for stupid videos. It truly is. It's for to watch videos like back in the day on Vine. That's all I do is watch the random videos, or like my sister will send me stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what I watch it off of. But yeah. It's like, yeah, the TikToks.
Yeah. And then Kick is, it's not struggling in the sense it's going to shut down. It's just struggling with its image. Yeah. it's struggling with its image. So, you know, TBD, that might happen. That is yet to come. So DreamHack had to issue a statement after multiple Kick streamers reportedly disrupted the experience for those in attendance. This comes at the same time as the Sydney Morning Herald calling Kick a playground for degenerates, which is wild for another country to say. but that happened. And then Kick's partial owner, Trainwreck, if you remember, he was like the face of not the face of Kick, but like, he was kind of promoting it a bit, like, in its infancy. So Trainwreck has said that he's refusing to stream on the platform until there are higher standards. The authenticity of these chat logs was verified in another streamer, whose name is Destiny. He's not a big Kick streamer in that sense. He got his following on YouTube mostly, but I think he multi-streams. So I guess Kick is just one of his platforms that he streams to. But it was verified in Destiny's Kick chat. But yeah, Trainwreck said he's not streaming there until there are better standards, which is saying a lot. I skipped right over YouTube. YouTube is testing a Gen AI content inspiration tool with a small number of channels to offer insight into the kind of content you may want to make. I can see that if you're like trying a variety channel.
Yeah, because it'll probably pull your analytics and tell you, instead of having it as a spreadsheet, it'll just straight up tell you, you do better with this at these times.
Yeah.
So I was like, that I can get. That's like a general programming type thing.
Yeah. It's not like a stealing art type of thing. I feel like AI does have its place with like the ChatGPT and all that, of like sparking off ideas and all that and pulling analytics.
Ooh, I love ChatGPT. I love ChatGPT. I just discovered the usefulness of it.
Yeah. I like kind of want to use it to help kind of like with living like a better, healthy lifestyle and like kind of organizing my life. But organizing certain things of like, what would be the best time to do this? Or like, can you give me a good schedule? I'm working this shift. I also do this, yada, yada, all that. So it has its place. I do think like AI has its place in that sense. And like AI has been around for a while. Cause like, how can, like, if we didn't have AI, I don't think we would even have a predictive text feature on our phones. But yeah.
And that's like the simplest form of AI.
Right. So, but yeah, I kind of like that. I don't think I will get the content inspiration tool anytime soon because I'm not that big just yet. If I do get it, I am curious of like if it'll tell me to do a different game or a different genre of game. That's what I'm more so curious about. But for the more niche down channels, I'm kind of curious just like what exactly would it try to steer towards. Any comment on the kick issues?
Kick needs to be kicked. It's funny when one of the owners says that, like, I'm not streaming until it has higher standards. It's like, so you don't stand behind your own product. Got it. That means it's a shit show over there.
Well, if you remember, Trainwreck basically put his money behind Kick, kind of more so he could gamble. And that was like basically it. He wasn't one of those free speech, I'm being censored type of guys. If I remember correctly, he was more so like, I want a place where we could do the gambling stuff. and that was why he did it. So, that, and he was like, it's a whole brand new thing, right? It's a whole brand new thing. The algorithm's going to be better. I don't know, because I've never tried it. And because as the Sydney Morning Herald said, there were so many degenerates on there that I was like, if anything popped off, I did not want to be affiliated with it. So, okay. I was like, I wasn't sure if your mic was going out, but.
No, I turned it off for a second just because Mike asked me a question. Oh. I didn't know that we were podcasting. I was like, yep. Oh. This whole time thought we were just chatting.
Oh. No, we'll do that in about 30 minutes.
Right?
But anyway, yeah, I just didn't want to be affiliated with it, you know, if something just like really drastic had popped off on there. Like, I did not want to risk anything, so which I know, like, some people kind of get in their feelings about, like, oh, people stop talking to me or people are treating me different because I stream on Kick now, which is like, yes, I know you yourself might be a decent person, but you're aligning yourself. Like, it's kind of showing that you might not care about making certain groups or certain groups of people, like, feel uncomfortable because you're about your bottom line, which is honest. But it's kind of like, well, people are uncomfortable because you're affiliating yourself with a platform that has degenerates like Aiden Ross. And Sneakio. So like, what you want us to do? Foul side kick needs to be kicked, nothing else.
But yeah, that's it. Kick just needs to be kicked. Yeah.
All right. All right. Moving all right along. Just don't care. Where's my thing? Oh, I'm gonna go back out. Just don't care. All right. So I only got one. And this was Xavier University became the second school to rescind a commencement invitation to the UN ambassador. Yeah, UN ambassador. See, that's our list. That's why I didn't say it earlier. UN ambassador Linda Thomas Greenfield, because of the student outcry over the genocide in Gaza and the Gaza Strip and Palestine. The move came days after the University of Vermont also canceled Thomas Greenfield's commencement address. Administrators at both universities cited pressure from students and the community over the Biden administration's support for Israel and its war with Hamas. Look at the youths.
Look at them doing the things.
That's pretty much all I can say on that one. But your thoughts?
Yes, I'm very pro this. Like, yes. Across the nation, different, especially in New York here, most multiple university students have like band together to protest. So I'm all for this, for being like, yeah, no, until something is done in Gaza, we don't want to hear from you. What inspirational, especially when they're having students that were
that have families over there.
Yeah, that families over there, and I forgot which university where their valedictorian was actually going to give the speech, and then they took it away
from them. Yeah.
So it's just kind of like, yeah, when they start doing stuff like that, it's time for the, and it's time for the students to lash out more. And I'm sorry, the lash out is the wrong term, but it's time for them to use their voice. People are shocked. They act like they're really shocked that they're doing this, but it's like, you basically told children to go live on their own, grow up, make adult decisions, fill their head with whatever they like, and you really expect them to not have their own opinions and voice. It's like, so yeah, no, they're adults now. This is what they do. So it's like, yeah, I'm all for them not having them as the commencement speakers, and until they get their shit together.
Yes.
And free Palestine.
Yes.
That's all I had to say.
I will say, like, because I have seen certain politicians, certain people, like, talk down on, like, the students of, like, well, they just don't know the intricacies and nuances of what's going on and the history of Israel and Palestine and the history of the Middle East and all that. It's just like, okay, so you're infantilizing them again. Okay. But also, it's just one of those, like, yes, we know the prefrontal cortex isn't fully developed until you're 25, but, like, the young people can form their own opinions. It's kind of one of those things of, like, it always kind of surprises me. It shouldn't, because, like, I saw it myself growing up, but it always kind of surprises me how adults, like, think that kids, young people, like, can't form their own opinions and make their own decisions just because they're young. And we're seeing, like, the widespread effect, like, here, like, particularly right here, with, you know, this particular conflict. But I never quite understood, of like, why do y'all doubt that the kids, the youths, don't have their own, like, they can't think for themselves? Like, yes, like, mistakes are gonna be made. They're more they're a little more rash in decision making. Like, say, a prefrontal cortex doesn't fully develop till 25, apparently, but they're still their own person who can, like, think for themselves. And they have the right to change their minds as well. So it's just like, why do you... Okay, whatever.
Yeah. And then plus, some of these people who speak on them are old enough to remember Vietnam.
Yes.
And they forget at that time that they protested
Vietnam, civil rights,
Iraq. Like all these time periods.
Yes,
that have wars. And that's the thing, I think, because it's not a U.S. centered war, that's not even a war, it's a genocide, but it's not U.S. centered, which is where they're just like, well, why are you protesting, why are you doing this, why are you doing that, where in the past, where it's been a direct, they're sending us here because these are our people that are going there. So it's like, that's the only difference. But at the end of the day, they're still students protesting.
But here's the thing, they had nothing to say when people were doing the exact same thing for Ukraine, which is also not a U.S. centered war.
Exactly. It was pray for Ukraine, but they didn't want to pray for Syria.
Well, Sudan as well.
But yeah, it's just like,
But yeah,
they always like to pick and choose.
They do. But yeah,
we don't support the brown peoples.
Basically. So yeah, well, I got the youth making change, making a statement. So it's like, I like it. Good for y'all. Okay. Weekly roundup. I'm not gonna bother with the weekly roundup graphic. Okay, so we have both come to the conclusion on this that we did not watch a lot of this, but I did want to touch on it, and I thought we'd come back a little bit sooner, but I know it's old now, but did want to touch on the Amanda Seales Club Shay Shay interview a bit. I thought it was interesting. I didn't watch it. I watched clips, I saw the think pieces, and then I watched two different people's takes because they took the time to watch the 3-hour and 10-minute interview that I was like, this is going to be tiring. That I did not have the mental capacity to do. So I watched two different creators' takes on it. I thought it was really interesting. What I thought was really interesting was that one creator, I'm not naming them because I'm like protecting the innocent, because then they're also they have the right to their own opinion. So I didn't want this to come off as a disagreement or hit piece against one or the other. So one creator was very much like, I'm so sick of this. I can't believe I spent my life watching this. I just don't like how Amanda Seales has been defensive, and how when she was talking about her experiences from the time she was a kid all the way up through Insecure and a little bit past that, they were just like, I just don't like how she basically was like, it was those people, it wasn't me, I didn't do anything, I didn't do anything to offend, I don't know why they're attacking me. And they were just like, they am not for it. So basically heavy disagreement with what Amanda said and did. And also kind of the disagreement of like, and we'll get a little bit more into it in a bit. So Amanda apparently revealed that she might, no, how do I say? Amanda Seales revealed that she was on the autism spectrum disorder. However, she, in the actual interview with Shannon Sharp, she skirted the question on purpose of whether she was clinically diagnosed. She later said in, it was either her live or just a video, a reel she posted on Instagram, said that she didn't want to pay $10,000 for an official diagnosis. So stands to reason that she came to the conclusion that she had autism spectrum disorder, autism spectrum, because, yep. Okay, I was like, wait, I don't know if that was the right word. Okay, but she came to the conclusion that she had autism spectrum disorder through self-diagnosis. So this creator was basically like, so before you were saying none of it was you, you're not really, I hate how this has become a buzzword, but you're not really taking accountability for like why these dynamics might have gone the way they went. And now you're adding the extra layer of, oh, I'm on the spectrum for autism spectrum disorder, so therefore you kind of using that as a crutch. So another creator that I watched was a bit gentler in their review of this, and basically said that like they personally had met Amanda, worked with her like once, didn't really have a negative interaction. That said, that doesn't mean that she couldn't have had a negative interaction with other people in the industry. And also that Shannon Sharp might have been a little bit more poignant with these questions and a little bit more willing to like debate or like get defensive, as opposed to his interviews with Cat Williams or Monique. So that it seemed like it was a little, not unfair, but the dynamics were different with their interview versus his previous interviews. Although I will say, I didn't watch it, but I watched the Cat Williams, I watched Monique, and I also watched, I think this was before the beginning of the year, this was like late December, sometime in December, I also watched his interview with Kirk Franklin, where he wasn't fully laid back, just like, keying it up, But he was also, he was asking questions and like asking more pointed questions, not necessarily debating, but just because it was on the topics of like dating and stuff and spirituality, I think he was a little more involved in that sense and it was like a conversation. So what I'm curious about is like, that's the only reason I kind of regret not watching for myself, because I don't know if it was like him with Kirk Franklin or if he, it was a whole different Shannon Sharp than even those past three interviews. So yeah.
See, my thing with it was that they were both very defensive, because he asked one thing and she got defensive and then he became defensive. So the whole time they're just playing off of that, off of each other. And it was like, we watched a good 30 minutes of it and we was like, all right, well, this is going to go nowhere. So we already know that we don't need to watch the rest of this.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, you could tell he was trying to ask questions. Yeah. She would relate the answers back to the original thing that she had an issue with him, which was kind of like, okay, but see, we're asking a question now. Why are we going back to this?
Yeah.
You keep going back to this, and this is why he keeps getting defensive. And then you're defensive, but I understand. But still, you can't move forward. Yeah, because he made a mistake, and he wouldn't acknowledge, and he's not going to acknowledge it.
Right.
But you're not going to move forward from it. So y'all just going to keep going back and forth with this. And it was just uncomfortable. So, yeah.
That's fair.
And then, like I said to him before we got live, first of all, where does it cost that much to get diagnosed with autism? Because there are multiple ways you can do so. You, if you have a psychiatrist, you can do so. They have testing. I was like, if you can do these things. So I'm all for self-diagnosing. If you don't have the means, if you have the means, then there you have a very special privilege. So you should be able to go and get these tests and not have to self-diagnose, because that'd be like all of a sudden, who's somebody else famous? If what's the Smith? Jada Smith was like, oh, I'm on the spectrum, but I don't want to go get tested. Ma'am, you have oodles of money. So I would not take your self-diagnosis. I'd be like, no, how about you actually go and get diagnosed? And I know it's harder for Black women to get diagnosed, but if you bring that up and you're adamant about it, I'm pretty sure if you find the right doctors, they will listen to you and they will take that into account.
Yeah,
that's just my thing on it.
I was telling Jade this before we went live as well. So like, also apparently you can just go to a teaching university and just do that. If they have like a clinical psychology type of program, and the only thing you might have to cop to, like, you have to cop to like maybe a couple hundred dollars, and also like you might have to just sign a waiver of like the students can watch, or like this can be used as like your name might be redacted, but your results and your profile might be used for further study, so that students can observe and observe how the testing process goes and like can observe you as like a case study or something. So yeah. Also, sorry, I don't know if you can hear the music playing in the background.
Barely.
Okay. Because I heard it, I was like, oh, cool. And I was like, wait a second, focus. So yeah, so on that whole thing, because I did raise my eyebrow about the whole thing with, like, her, the way she stated that she was on the spectrum. It did at first make it sound like that she had gotten clinically diagnosed. And that's why Shannon Sharp asked, is there a clinical diagnosis? Did you get diagnosed? Because I think someone else explained as well that I think he was just trying to like catch up to the fact that she was diagnosed and like trying to understand what exactly is autism spectrum disorder and how it presents itself and all that. So
yeah, like what does it entail?
Yeah. So, and that's why he has this very clinical diagnosis. I don't think he was trying to invalidate her. I think he was just catching up and trying to understand. So until he asked that, when I saw the clip, it kind of came off as she was clinically diagnosed, like to a layperson. It came off that way. And then when he asked, then she was like, yes, there are clinical diagnoses for autism spectrum disorder. And then she had posted later on her Instagram that she had skirted the question on purpose, because she felt that he was trying to invalidate her. Yeah. So, as you said, defensiveness is a whole lot of that.
Yeah, it's defensiveness. It's her very strong forwardness with speaking, and not in a bad way, not backing down, but in the sense that, like, she doesn't know how to tone herself down.
Yeah.
every situation that she's been in, the common theme is like it was racist, they were sexist, they were this, they were that.
Yeah.
But it was always a problem of they.
Yeah.
And at some time I'm like, okay, but every story you have is centered around something of that nature.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you can't be the one person in the world who literally all this has only happened to every single step of your life.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that was why that one creator was like, no. But I did want to say, so this is why I feel like I do think she should still get clinically diagnosed, but there might be some validity to this diagnosis of potential autism spectrum disorder. Because I was like, okay, I can see that, but also you should have known better. But also, it's like, if you are neurodivergent in that sense that you have that, then it's like, okay, I can see why. So I don't know if you got to this part. She was talking about being on the set of Insecure, and she first she was saying like how she didn't really feel fully accepted, even though she was trying to like host like game nights and stuff for her and the cast and all that. And then this instance happened that she had called somebody on the set a revolutionary N-word. I still don't feel comfortable saying it because I feel like my list is going to betray me every time I'm live. Anyway, but she had called somebody on the set a revolutionary N-word. And that person, who was not an actor, they were a producer, they were like, don't call me that. And apparently she got pulled aside and talked to by the people on the set, and like, basically had a sit-down conversation. Like, she wasn't pipped or anything, but like, they had a sit-down conversation. And she was like, I just don't understand why someone would do that. And part of me was like, well, because you called them, like, you didn't.
I'm at work, and if I don't want to be called that, I don't want to be called that. So it has to be said,
yeah,
in a formal manner that, hey, I don't like that.
Yeah. And also, not only the whole workplace type of thing, but also it's like, when I read it, I was just like, that don't sound like a compliment. When she said it, I was like, that still don't sound like a compliment. To her, she was complimenting him. I was just like, I don't know if I take that as a compliment. Cause I was like, what are you trying to say? That I'm too radical? Yeah. So it's like, just because you were saying something that you were like, oh, that's a compliment. It was like, first off, I know that is a term that could easily be like colloquial about Black culture. That said, that's not a widespread term to me, to where I could just pick up of like, oh, that's what that means. Because I was like, no, I feel like I would feel some type of way if someone at my job called me that. Now considering where I work, that's probably for a different reason, but wherever you work, I was like, I feel like there is probably a reason he felt that way. And he probably doesn't like being called the N-word. Maybe like, he's kind of like, take his word for it. You never know. But also it was like, if you call me that plus revolutionary. I was like, I don't know what you're trying to say. So yeah, that's why I was like, I could see that, because part of our autism spectrum disorder is missing social cues and thinking like what you said is fine, not knowing that that actually like has an effect on people, depending on like how you're coming off. So that's the only thing I would say is like, I could see it's, I still think you need to get an official diagnosis, and you have the means and there are resources to do that. I just, yeah. But yeah, go ahead.
Even Chris, I was about to say, because even Chris Rock got a diagnosis for himself. He's not autistic, but I forgot what it was that he has, where it just doesn't click in his head sometimes for certain things, for social interactions. But it wasn't autism. But even he was like, no, I have this. And it was like, oh, because you got diagnosed.
Right.
Cool, cool. Because again, you have the means. So go get diagnosed. I don't like that people automatically assume autism for things, especially with like, I have a nephew that's autistic.
Yeah.
So I'm not big on people just automatically being like, oh, you're autistic, you're this.
Right.
And be like, oh, I'm just autistic. And it's like, no, but are you?
But are you?
Yeah. Like, I was like, I don't like invalidating people, but also it's still like,
what do you,
it's become a new buzzword.
And part of me is like, what was she going off of that made her get to that conclusion? Of this is who
she was saying
I am.
She exhibits some of those, some of the symptoms and character, not symptoms, but the characteristics. Like she was saying, like, if you had a bowl of peanuts right here, I would sit here and line them all up. And
that doesn't,
I was
like, because necessarily
people with autism like to line things up.
Oh no, you should go get a diagnosis.
Yeah, that's, I'm like, it's, yeah. And she was saying how my social interactions and how I didn't understand how this, and I'm like, yeah, that could be a lot of different things. That could just be you being socially inept.
I was like, you could just be an asshole.
Right?
Not that I'm calling her an asshole, but it was like, when people say that, I was like, or you could just be an asshole.
Yeah.
But that's what, like, yeah.
It's that it's the new crutch. Like how when everybody was suddenly depressed and anxiety, but like nobody was actually going to see if they're depressed or had anxiety.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, everybody's autistic. And it does more harm than good, because yes, there are people who are genuinely are, but then you have the people who abuse it and think that like, oh, well, I did this, so I must have it, and try to use it as an excuse.
And that's, I think that's how to a lot of people, actually, including the creator I watched, that's how to a lot of people she was coming off. While that might not have been her intention, that's definitely how people were perceiving it.
Because I was like, I've always had a thing where I agree with a lot of what she says, I just don't like her presentation of it.
I agree to an extent, but I know
on social issues, I should say that, on social issues.
I was thinking social issues as well, but it's like, yeah. I agree to an extent. However, and even after things that have happened, like, up to date and, like, from the past 4 years, I'm still just like, okay, I'm not fully going all the way where she went. It's just more so of, like, but there's nuance in certain situations. And I think with some of her views, she didn't allow that nuance with how she presented it. And also, she also came off as, like, I don't want to make this like a hate thing. I don't hate her or anything. I don't necessarily even dislike her. I small doses. I can take her in small doses. There we go. But also it's just like the way she I guess it goes with the presentation, but the way she would come off or the way she would talk about things, it very much gave an air of, I'm smarter than you, therefore shut up and listen to this.
Yeah.
And this is coming from somebody, I too have a master's, and I was just like, oh dear, no. Yeah, that's very much a thing with me, is like, if it sounds like you're talking down, not necessarily directly to me, but just like to your audience, it's like, I'm tuning out. I can't. But, anything else?
On her, no.
Okay. I promise that will be the last time we talk about her, unless she makes big waves again.
I know, right?
All right. Last but not least, the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration is moving toward reclassifying marijuana as a less dangerous drug. Proposal would move marijuana from the Schedule 1 group to the less tightly regulated Schedule 3. Schedule 3 drugs include ketamine, anabolic steroids, and some acetaminophen coating combinations. Thank you. But they're still controlled substances, but within those, it's like they said, it's less regulated. They're subject to various rules that allow for some medical uses and for federal criminal prosecution of anyone who traffics the drugs. I don't know why they said in the drugs, but who traffics the drugs without permission. So, yeah. Do I have anything on this? Not really. Oh, I mean, I don't use it or nothing, but what are your thoughts?
If it keeps less people out of jail for marijuana,
yes,
yeah, I'm all for it. Here.
I agree with that.
Because they don't even. I live somewhere where it's legal to do it. So even in my doctor's appointment, when they asked me, do you take drugs? Do you do any drugs? And I was like, just marijuana every once in a while.
Yeah.
And then when I looked at my chart, they put drugs, no, because they didn't even count that. So I was like, see, they don't, it's not as terrible.
Drinking is actually worse. Sorry
it
to my
is. Liver. It kills
sorry,
your liver.
Sorry to my liver. Yeah. But yeah, it's actually worse. That's, which is why I was like, I don't drink as much. Like they really gave us a whole thing about binge drinking. Like before we went off to college and all that. About the whole lessons of like binge drinking is bad. It's just like but drinking.
Yeah. So you had that too for college, because yeah. I remember my freshman year we had that whole thing and we had to learn about, we had to have pass a test.
Yeah.
And it was like, what happens when you mix alcohol with caffeine, and this, like, does it do more? Does it absorb faster or slower if you do this with the alcohol? I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yep.
Had, they know y'all gonna be drinking.
Had that whole thing. But because, like, depending on where you went to college, people did not want to go to jail or get found out for marijuana. It was like, well, the alcohol's right here at this frat party. So, might as well. But yeah, so... and it's just one of those things, it's just like alcohol is just so ingrained in the culture, just like American culture, Western culture, really. But yeah, it's like, it's actually worse. It's a carcinogen. Yeah, but I was like, I actually don't drink as much. Like I kind of like, I've kind of like even killed, I might have like one or two once a week or something. Unless I just had a hell of a day. But
y'all don't let that fool you, because M can make a mean drink. And you'll be sitting there like, I'll just drink one. And that one will have you done. And you'd be like, what did you put in this? Nothing. Like experimenting on people. So yes.
Well, because I like to make some flavors and stuff. It's fun. But yeah. Mr. Embassy always thinks I'm trying to experiment on him. It's just like, I'm trying to I'm just trying to be a good wife and make you a drink. anywho. But yeah, like I said, I don't partake of marijuana because I cannot. but I take people's word for it that it is like is probably less damaging than alcohol. But yeah, the fewer people who go to jail just because of marijuana, the better, I feel like. So
yeah.
The trafficking, I feel like that could go either way, just because people be sneaking stuff in marijuana. So like, it's one of those things of like, are you saying trafficking of the pure stuff or trafficking of lace stuff? Because I can see the lace stuff, but I don't work for DEA. I don't know. But that's just kind of like my two cents of like, I can still see what they mean by the trafficking of it. Might be a federal offense, but that would be my only thing. Anything else though?
On that's it.
Okay. Well, thank y'all for coming out to another episode of The Embassy. Let me take this off. I didn't want to just make that the thumbnail. I'm gonna have to go and change the thumbnails. Hopefully it'll just be us or maybe Drake and Kendrick. Thank y'all for coming out to the episode of The Embassy Talks podcast. We should be back next week. I'm feeling a lot better. I'm hoping my schedule will get even lighter, fingers crossed, in the next couple of weeks, so you'll get more of the podcast, but also more of me in streaming.
Yay.
So yeah, fingers crossed that I can get that worked out, but I'm feeling good enough to be back to regular, so we should be back next week. If not, we'll let you know in Discord as always.